There's some cowboys out here, boy. Yeah, I can see you now with the cowboys. Yeah. One too many comment, and there went the boot right where it doesn't go. Okay. Put that boot where the sun don't shine.
Are you trying to say I do that?
Yeah, I'm trying. I think I did say that.
You're listening to the Help Me with HIPAA podcast, where HIPAA and humor collide to make learning fun. Your delightful hosts are Donna Grindle and David Sims. Relax. HIPAA help is on the way.
Welcome to the Help Me with HIPAA podcast. My name is David Sims of HIPAA for MSPs, and joining me is Donna Grindle of Card and Compliance. Hello, Donna.
Hello, David. How are you?
So, I'm doing good. You know, we are now full swing into spring.
And so sneezing and scratching our eyes. And
absolutely. It's very, very yellow all over my front porch.
I know. Some people say it's green, but it looks yellow to me. But
yeah, my cars are yellow. Mm-hmm. My house is yellow.
I love this time of year. Very
do
cool.
You?
No, I don't.
It's like, okay.
No, I mean, it's like what's bad is, you know, even just all these little random things that you don't even realize are exposed to the elements will be covered in pollen. Mm-hmm. And, you know, but hey, they got to spew their things too. So, you know, they got to get that pollen out there and blow here and blow there. So,
wow. So, speaking of spewing stuff. Speaking of spewing stuff, let's talk about what we're doing in the next little while. So we have some speaking engagements. You have some speaking engagements. But before we dive into those, we want to talk about the big one, the HIPAA boot camp.
The one you're excited about.
I am excited about it.
Yeah, I know. Yes, indeed. So, yeah. Yes, you can, and David is very proud of the landing page. So even if you just have a little bit of interest, make sure you go see the landing page. Even if you've already paid us and you're coming already, go see the landing page.
I know, because Donald made me stay up till 1 a.m.
Oh, I made you.
Building
you
this
knew
thing.
You were going to need that thing. You had a week. You did your homework at the last minute. It's not my problem.
That's why I
asked
I got
you
a text.
To do one thing.
That's why I got a text last night at 10 o'clock. When are you going to build the landing page? I'm like, oh, okay. Now hey, you want to ask about it.
I'm not supposed to remind you. Anyway, on the landing page, you will find some fantastic information about the HIPAA Bootcamp.
Yep. And it is at thehippabootcamp.com.
Yes, that or on our other sites that we've given you previously. We told you, helpmewithhippa.com/bootcamp. You can get it there or at the HIPAA Bootcamp if you want to tell people about it. Are you going to the HIPAA Bootcamp? Then you should go to thehippabootcamp.com.
Right.
And so it's May 11th and 12th. So it's 2 days intensive training. And then the price is $14.97. We're doing this introductory kind of thing to get our concept off the ground, and it includes breakfast and lunch and some, you know, breaks, because we know we're going to have to keep getting you up and running around the tables and stuff. And so caffeine and water and sugar, we'll just throw it at you until we got it going on. But it's going to be at the Smoke Rise Country Club, which is conveniently located right near Stone Mountain Park in the Stone Mountain, Georgia area. Also, interestingly enough, near where I live. So, hey, you know, you got to go with what you got to work with when you're trying something new. But we're really excited about it. We think the facilities are beautiful at the Smoke Rise Country Club. And David's going to be here, and he's going to stay at my house. And if you can make him move over, you can stay here too. So,
yeah, good luck with that.
But for more details, go to the website. Certainly give us a call or an email or any of those things. But there's going to be very limited seating because the facility is not like a giant ballroom hotel space. We're hoping to keep it intimate and very one-on-one time as much as possible.
Yeah. Well, even if we had a big space, we don't want it to be a big, a lot of people there, because we want to be able to help people and take the time to, you know, work with them, like you said, one-on-one or at least in small groups. So this is not going to be the thing where you have 200 people there. That's for sure.
Yeah. We'll have squads.
I'm still amazed that you can get the price down that low. I have to admit.
Yeah. Well, you know, I thought let's do an introductory thing. And that's why we're having it close by in a facility that I have connections. And so that I can keep the price down, do the introductory thing, and get the feedback that we need to build this thing, because we really think there is a need for it. And we've got a lot of questions from people all the time. How can you train me? And I don't want to take an 8-week course. And I want to know as much as possible, as short as possible. Well, all right. Good luck. Here we go.
We're going to bring the fire hose. We're going to turn it on.
That's it. That's it. We're going to... But I can assure you, it will never be this cheap again because this is our first inaugural event. And so if you want in, get in now while the getting's good, as they say.
Yep. Just click on the big buy now button.
Jeez. And David's proud of his buy now button, too.
I know.
It's pretty.
It's pretty.
Yeah.
So what are the kind of speaking engagements do you have around the country?
Well, I'm about to go, and in fact, I'm not sure if this may be coming out when I'm doing the Southern Oncology Association of Practices is going to be the first week of April in Orlando. I'm really excited to be with that group, and I'm going to be the closing keynote. So here again, you know, I'm trying to be bait. Get you to stay, but I'm really looking forward to it. It's an interesting group and a different way that they do some things in their conference. And so this may come out on that day. And if so, and you're in the Orlando area, come on by the Wyndham Bonnet Creek and say hello. Then we've got May the 2nd. I'm going to be the keynote for the Tuesday morning of the Georgia Medical Group Management Association Annual Conference in Hilton Head Island. Yeah, you know, I'm having to go to tropical places, and you know how much I hate that.
It's terrible.
But I'll go. And then, of course, that's May the 2nd. Then May 11th and 12th, we have the boot camp. And then June 21st, I'm going to South Georgia MGMA and speaking in Valdosta, plus some other little things I'm probably setting up to do in the Valdosta area. And then in July, the Atlanta Association of Legal Administrators. So we're venturing further out into that talking to the lawyers thing. And we've worked really hard to make sure that it is not too geeky and not too healthcare, but really generic cybersecurity programs. So I'm really excited about that one because it's, you know, something different. Mm-hmm. So there you go. That's come see me or, you know, just show up and say, hey, how you doing?
So what else did you want to get into before we get into the meat of it?
Oh, well, we got to make sure we mention that we still have the survey going, our listener survey. We'll probably leave it out there just because we need that feedback. And if you haven't gone to the helpmewithhipaa.com/survey, please do so. We definitely need the feedback and those comments. Yes, it is anonymous, but some of you, I know who you are with what you said. So you go ahead. Yeah, you cracked me up. Yeah, you did. You know you did, and you know I know who you are. But please take a minute and give us the feedback. I mean, literally a minute, maybe 2 minutes of your time would mean so much to us. And just think, we're giving you our time right now. We're about to give you a whole bunch of new information that we haven't shared in any of our episodes. So please stop by and do that. And of course, subscribe. We need you to subscribe so you get those downloads all the time, because that's how we're going to build and grow this thing and be able to do more with it. And share us, of course, tell everybody about the HIPAA podcast.
Yep. So just pass down on around.
You're just so wrong. You're just so wrong. I'm not even getting it. No. Mm-hmm. All right.
So today's going to be very interesting. This kind of comes on the heels of something that happened recently in New Mexico where they passed a new data breach notification law, but we also had some interaction with some with a listener over email recently too that was out in Texas. Right. And there was a lot of back and forth about what this person had to do for Texas versus, you know, just HIPAA and versus the rest of the country. So this kind of took us down the path of, you know what, we really hadn't talked about the differences in the states and how that goes along with HIPAA, or is it more stringent than HIPAA, and what are the notification laws? And, you know, we always tell people, not only do you have to talk about and know about HIPAA, but you also have to know, what does your state have to say about privacy and breach and notifications and all those things? Mm-hmm. So even though HIPAA is already overwhelming for a lot of people, then we turn around and say, oh, yeah, by the way, don't forget, it may be a little different for you no matter where you're at, depending on the state you're in and the laws there. So that's what we're going to cover today.
And all those people that say, I'm glad I don't have to do HIPAA, you better be paying attention to what your state's saying, because these states, a lot of these rules don't apply to HIPAA-covered entities. They apply to everybody that's not one.
That's correct.
On the breach notifications and things like that. So even if you are not a HIPAA business, your business falls under these state laws. So it's going to be, you might want to listen up even if you don't do HIPAA.
Yeah, we actually had a short conversation about this when we were in Orlando with someone where we made the comment that even if HIPAA doesn't apply to you, the HIPAA-like, I'm doing my little air quotes here, the HIPAA-like stuff is going to be for everybody before long. The privacy and security of data is going to be everywhere, and everybody's going to have to do it to some extent. And so it's going to be funny because in a few more years, people are going to look back and go, HIPAA wasn't that bad, actually, after all. Now, with all these other things we have going on, HIPAA's not that bad.
Well, if we'd have done the original stuff, maybe this other stuff wouldn't have come about. But that's only, you know, hindsight. Can't tell, you know. But we can tell you where it's headed now. And when New Mexico, they passed it, it hasn't been, or at least last I checked, it just passed this month in March, and it hasn't been signed into law, but everybody expects it to. And that means there are only two states that don't have specific data breach notification laws. That's Alabama, and, you know, I'm in the South, so, you know, it's Alabama, I expect this. And then South Dakota, and I got nothing. Don't know why those two have it yet. My guess is there's something moving through and they're talking about it, though. Mm-hmm. But again, most of these laws, they're going to say that if you're subject to HIPAA notification, you don't have to do them, or to the Gramm-Leach-Bliley Act, which is the one about, you know, the financial companies and stuff, that they have to notify you, the credit cards and all of that.
Right.
But you better know what it means to you in your state, because also some of these come with the civil penalties and things like that.
Nice. Something else for us to worry about.
Yeah, well, you know, just worry about the data, and then you don't have to worry about it. Just worry about yourself.
If you hadn't seen that video, you wouldn't know the funny part of it. But
oh, yeah. We got a link to it somewhere. But Rose, worry about yourself.
Yeah.
So, she's awesome. But indeed, there are in each state now, so 48 states are going to have something that you need to know about when it comes to data privacy, breach notification, and security. Mm-hmm. They do have them.
So let's talk about the breach notification aspects. Where are those different at? Because I know some of them include specific requirements about who's a covered entity and, you know, how many employees you have and things like that.
Yeah, what you got to know is that there's a lot. In some ways, they're very similar, and then they're the same but different because you've got to know, okay, who does it apply to first? You got to go see who it applies to in your state. And the HIPAA law itself basically says as long as HIPAA is more stringent than the state law, HIPAA is going to override, you know, take precedence. And that goes across all of this. But in many of these cases now, the state laws are getting to be more stringent. Particularly, mm-hmm. we talk Texas, California, Massachusetts has got their own thing going on. But when it comes down to it, like, someone will say, well, you have to have more than 10 employees for this to apply. So it's like a lot of the other size of business stuff. Mm-hmm. So first it's, okay, are you subject to HIPAA or GLBA? How many employees do you have? What kind of data? You know, you got to figure out if it even applies to you. Don't assume we know about that. Mm-hmm.
Well, you bring up a good point about the federal versus state, because I actually had this conversation with a covered entity about 2 weeks ago, and it was about just that thing. They were talking about some state-required things, but the state requirements were less than the federal HIPAA requirements, and so, you know, it wasn't much of an argument. It was pretty much me saying, federal trump state. You know, there's
at least in this case.
Yeah, the only way the state's going to trump federal is if it's more stringent, not less stringent. So,
yeah,
at least in that case, that's the way it was. So that's a good point to bring up for sure.
Well, and then you have the part where you got to figure out, okay, does it apply to you? Now I have to know what data applies to say, do I even keep this kind of data on people? And I use the California data list for an example because it just shows you how complex this can be. And in some cases, yeah, you know, so I love that it's first name or first initial and last name, where a lot of people tell me, oh, first initial and last name, I'm good. I'm like, no, no, you can do like maybe just the initials, but no, first initial, last name, you're still tying that with something, you're in trouble. So if you have first name or first initial with the last name. So first and last name or first initial and last name, you add that to Social Security number, driver's license number, state identification card number, a financial account number, credit or debit card number, in combination with any security or access code or password permitting access to a resident's financial account, medical or health insurance info. So theirs actually goes so far as to say this applies to medical. Whereas a lot of the others say medical's not even in our realm. Mm-hmm. And info collected by automated license plate recognition systems. I thought that was interesting.
Hmm. Yeah.
I know, because you got all those toll roads and all that stuff that happens now. I mean, I got the Peach Pass, you know, shoot right through there. Yeah, I like the convenience of it. And I figure, you know, as much as you taunt people, we're being watched anyway. But the a username or email address in combination with a password or security question answer that would permit access to an online account. So that's a lot of stuff to figure out. So pretty much if you're keeping anything about your customers besides their name, you might want to. And I did think it was interesting. It didn't mention date of birth.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Wonder why.
So, well, and it may have just been that section that I pulled. I mean, California's got so many different things. There's a lot there. It's pages. But you've got to know what your state's data is covered. So like in Georgia, it says right off the top, doesn't apply to healthcare because they got HIPAA. And other states, a lot of the states will say that, but you still need to know what it says about other things. Because if, let's say they say, what is their own definition of what is considered a breach? Because they've got very specific language of what they call a breach, and it may not necessarily be the same as what HIPAA would be, so you might have to do a state notification when you're not doing a HIPAA one, potentially. Especially if you are not a HIPAA business, you better know what a breach is. You know, we talk about it's data outside control of a covered entity or business associate, as far as we're concerned.
Yeah, and for all the IT people out there that listen to our podcast, wake up call. You might want to know what your state has to say about these things, especially whenever not only are you dealing with the data, but you have clients and you really should be well aware of what's going on and what their requirements are so that you can, you know, help them with those things.
Yeah. Another little variable that I thought, you know, at first I was like, oh, okay, that makes sense. And then the more I get to think about it, it kind of concerns me because some only apply to electronic information, not paper.
Yeah. I saw that. That's kind of weird.
Yeah, I mean, they're only worried about electronic information. So if I go in and steal a stack of papers, I'm good to go. Mm-hmm. Only in some states. You know, so I still secure paper. Even when we're doing our security risk analysis for electronic stuff, we ask about the paper because it's important.
Yeah, because we've seen several bad things happen with paper.
Yeah, flying down the road.
Ends up in dumpsters. Amazing how that always happens.
I know. It's like, hey, look what I found.
You know, speaking of the one flying down the road, we actually had an email question come in the other day about that.
Oh, yeah, we did.
It was to the effect of, you know, should they find another vendor to pick up their shredding documents and things, because they don't shred them on site. They take them somewhere else and shred them. And of course, you know, they didn't want to have the risk of those documents being spread all over the highway once they left there. Mm-hmm. So, which is a good question, really.
Yeah. Are you going to answer it, David?
I can.
Well, just taunt people with the question. Yeah, you bring up the question and say, well, good luck on that.
So, no, I think the answer is, I don't think that you necessarily have to find somebody else. I do think that it would be a good idea to try to figure out how your records are transported, though. Because if they are in the back of an open bed truck, then maybe you should find somebody different.
Yeah, you do a risk analysis just like everything else. You know, you say, hey, vendor, check out this story. Because I think we were talking about the story where there was an accident. The truck got in an accident and it caused the thing to open up and spew all the documents that were dumped in it. Mm-hmm. And so you ask them, hey, look at this. They should know about it. And if they don't know about it, I would worry about that. Because that's key in their industry, you know.
Yeah.
And then based on their answer, that's going to give you, that's essentially the risk analysis you need to do. See how seriously they're taking it. See if they've even thought about it. See if they're aware of it. And I would say if they're not even aware that it happened and they haven't even thought ever about what would happen if one of their trucks was in an accident, is it possible for it to bust open? If they've never considered it and say, well, we're just, that's not going to happen. That would be a red flag to me. What about you?
Yeah. Never say never.
Yeah. But I you know, I would throw that red flag up. But I would say that about any business associate, you know, is to say, if something I see in the news applies to them, I would say, hey, have you seen this? What is your plan? And then based on their answers, it would give me a pause. Mm-hmm. So anyhow, there we go. Now we've answered the question. That Amy, shout out to Amy for asking us questions.
Okay, carry on.
Lead on.
I got you running down that rabbit hole.
Yeah. Well, you can't just mention somebody ask a question and not answer it because we hadn't gotten around to really on the show yet. I hadn't written it up, put it in our notes officially. So David sends us down that path. thank you very much.
I will do that to you.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
So anyway. Back to our credit. Well, the we were in California. Yeah, we were in California.
Electronic versus paper. And now we're going to say the different notifications time frames. Those are all over the place because they are, some say just without delay, or, you know, they say immediately. There's some things, if you're a third party and you have a breach that includes one of your clients' data, for example, some of them say that you have 24 hours to let your clients know.
Ouch.
Yeah. So you think about that. If you're in a state and you are a business associate and you think you got all this time to do an assessment and then get the information to your covered entity or your upstream business associate, but your state says you got 24 hours, boom, better know it. So, but I mean, then we have a lot of links and stuff we'll have on the website to let you go get this information, by the way. I'm not just leaving you hanging in the wind. Like David would, because he'd be like, I don't know where you find out. Yes, Donna.
Google.
I Google it. Then some of them require that you include credit protection for breach victims. And I thought this one's kind of interesting because, you know, when the Athens Orthopedic thing happened, they came out and did a video on their website, which has been taken down, saying, look, we can't afford to pay for everybody's credit monitoring service.
Wow.
And it exploded. I mean, it just blew up in their face. It was, I don't know if they had nobody advising them or you know, didn't ask, but I'm certainly going to tell every one of you now, never do that. We've seen how bad that went for them because they weren't that much in the news until they did that. You know, it was just a few news stories that I caught or you caught, but boy, mm-hmm. did it explode and people went insane. Bottom line, though, is I don't really think it's that helpful. It's a PR move.
Yeah. Well, not only that, but we've talked about this before, and I think even Frank Abagnale even mentioned it, that the credit monitoring after a breach is just pointless because most of the time they're only going to do it for a year. And so these people know I'll just sit on the information for a year or two, and then I'll start using it. And nobody's going to, you know, have their credit being monitored or anything like that at that point, which, you know, credit monitoring in and of itself is one thing, but then you also need to be monitoring your identity, which people usually aren't doing. They're paying for one or not the other or not paying for either one because, you know, who wants what I've got?
Well, and, you know, the credit monitoring doesn't do anything to monitor your medical identity.
Right.
It doesn't do anything to monitor your online accounts. It only watches for bad things on your credit records. Well, they use all of the other stuff before they even hit and try to buy things at you. So it's definitely something that it's a PR thing in these cases, I believe. But nonetheless, people expect it. And in some states, you have to do it.
Mm-hmm.
It's not an option. So you need to know if your state requires it. I think California does, I think, and maybe Massachusetts. I don't know. But know your states. I don't know all of the states off the top of my head. I always go look them up to be sure.
Yeah.
But then the other thing that's interesting is some of them require you to notify state agencies as well as some require you to notify credit reporting services.
Okay.
Which is interesting. You know, you don't have to tell me in the state, but you got to go tell, you know, Experian or a lot of these other guys that it happens so that they're monitoring for it or something. I don't know. But like, for example, California, we get to use it a lot because it's so much. If more than 500 state residents are notified as a result of a single breach, must also electronically submit a sample copy of the notification to the California Attorney General's office. Oh, yeah. And then they get into investigating you. Some of them have different harm thresholds, meaning you can investigate it and determine whether or not the breach really could lead to harm. Like along the lines of the HIPAA four-factor assessment, originally HIPAA wouldn't have had that specific four factors. They would say you can figure out if there's harm. And then when they kind of put that in place, they found out pretty much if you don't have rules out there, everybody's going to say no harm, no foul. You know, I mean, if I don't have to, I'm not going to tell anybody. You know, it's what every business is going to say. I mean, come on. So the fact that you have the ability to investigate and decide is there in a lot of cases, but they give you a specific rules about what harm really is. And Alaska had one that was interesting. Notification not required if, after appropriate investigation and after written notification to the Alaska Attorney General, covered entity determines that, and this is covered entity meaning covered under this law, determines that there is not a reasonable likelihood that harm to consumer has resulted or will result from the breach. So you're allowed not to notify the individuals as long as you write up why you think you don't have to and send it to the Attorney General.
Now, just to be clear, this doesn't overrule HIPAA. This is for the other things, right?
Right. This is their data breach notification law in Alaska, which is not, you know, HIPAA is going to take precedence when it comes to the healthcare stuff. You don't have that option of saying, mother, may I? To the Attorney General.
But I live in Alaska. I don't have to tell you. I can see Russia from here.
Oh, don't start. Here we go. So moving right along, another difference is the safe harbor allowances for encrypted devices, which is another one that's kind of different. They do vary, and you have to know what they will say meets encryption, you know.
Okay.
And I think that goes back to, is it industry standard encryption, or can I just say it was encrypted?
Yeah.
And, you know, not have to answer how it was encrypted. Or maybe they don't mention encrypted devices at all. You know, they take the approach of, even though it's out of your, you know, it's out of your control, is you need to let people know you're not even keeping up with it. So, and then of course some of them have the civil penalties. I mentioned that before, and that's just the breach notification part of medical records or of the state laws.
Mm-hmm.
There's also state laws about the patient right to access records.
And that ought to be interesting.
I know, really.
You mean HIPAA doesn't block that?
Well, you know, again, if it, that one's where I don't even, you know, I was like, how complicated can it get when you've got a scenario where the state law says you got to do certain things and then the HIPAA law says you may or may not. But remember, you still got the federal law takes it, you know, precedence. But a lot of these are doing things that has to do more with the time frame. So they're making it more stringent than HIPAA, and that's why it matters. And they even give themselves the ability to say, hospitals have to do one thing and physicians have another.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so California, of course, they're going to be right up there, and they say you have to allow inspection of a medical record. They must permit inspection of a medical record within 5 working days of the request. They don't have to give you a copy, but they have to let you see it. So you can say, come in the office, I'll let you see it within 5 working days. But if I'm going to give you a copy, you got 15.
Okay.
So HIPAA gives you like more than that, we'll just say.
Yeah.
You know, and then you've got 10 days on some of the states. And even Louisiana's in here on some of this. You got 15 days. Or this one I like. Hospitals must provide medical record access. And here's the little bunny ear, air quotes, as soon as practicable.
Practicable?
Practicable. That's what it says. And upon payment of reasonable copying fees. As soon as practicable. But the thing is that you don't have to copy anymore. You know, that's one of the big things about HIPAA. So HIPAA is going to, you know, be able to override a little bit about the copying fees. But certainly the 15 days is less than what HIPAA necessarily requires. They give you kind of up to 30 days, I want to say. Nevada, 5 working days or 10 to do the copies.
Yeah.
And they don't have necessarily some of the, you get into those questions because in Nevada it says copies of such records must be made available upon request. But you got HIPAA that says what can and cannot be included in a medical record. So that one's fun. And Texas has a, you know, stuff that tells you about the hospital and stuff that tells you about the physician, but they're the same. They're the same. But they got it there so they can change it, I guess. And then they said a provider using an electronic health system. So they go so far as to include a specific designation for those using EHR. But then it's the same too. You got 15 business days. No matter what it is, but it gives you all these conditions. And then, I don't know. Texas has got, we could do a whole show on Texas HIPAA, like Texas has its own HIPAA. Maybe we'll have to do that. We'll do the Texas HIPAA show.
Texas HIPAA show.
Yeah, they're doing
that'll be where our next boot camp is. We're going to do the Texas boot
yeah,
camp.
Yeah, there you go. There's some cowboys out here, boy. Yeah, I can see you now with the cowboys. Yeah. One too many comment and there went the boot right where it doesn't go. Okay. Put that boot where the sun don't shine.
Are you trying to say I do that?
Yeah. I'm trying. I think I did say that. other state law topics that have to do with medical records. The retention time. There's a lot of state laws that how long you have to retain the records. There's some that say you don't have to do as long as HIPAA, and those, of course, HIPAA takes precedence. But others say you have to do it longer. And they have there's some interesting ones. Like, I found, you know, Mississippi's was really interesting to me because hospitals must retain medical records for 7 years for patients discharged at death, 10 years for adult patients discharged. Otherwise, 7 years after a minor reaches 18, or for 7 years after the period that a patient is under a known disability, but not to exceed 28 years. X-ray films and any other graphic data must be retained 4 years. Hospitals must retain, preserve, and store medical records for longer than the retention period established in the code, as in its discretion or as may be required by any court.
Wow.
What? And then it goes so much further to say hospitals may discard medical records earlier than the retention period established in that previous one upon written consent of the patient.
Wow.
It's a loop.
You just about have to sit down and just, you know, chart that stuff out.
Yeah, it's a flow chart. I need a flow chart to know how long to keep a record in Mississippi.
Wow.
Missouri, you know, hospitals have to retain them 10 years, physicians, 7.
Okay.
You know, it's
why
like,
would that be different?
I don't know. Because, you know, well, I guess they say, well, your doctors have so many more records on you where a hospital might just see you one time. But I don't know in how, you know, but that's a fairly 3 years of medical records could be a big difference. So.
Yeah.
And then release of mental health records with a court order. You know, we get into this court order thing, and we've talked about that many times where people will get a subpoena for records, and then they'll like, you don't, if you've got a thing on there, you better notify that patient you've been subpoenaed. I'm just saying. That's what I would always do, and definitely do if the patient has limitations on who you can release records to. But I would absolutely notify the patient that I was subpoenaed for their records and give them time to react before supplying or answering the subpoena if I was going to do it. Pretty much, I would say I need a court order, not just a subpoena. But some states go so far as to make the court order happen. And then when you get down to mental health records, woo, girl. People say stuff up in their therapy office that everybody wants access to when they're in court battles, you know?
Mm-hmm. Oh, so, sure.
And I went ahead and got the South Carolina information. Confidential information may be disclosed pursuant to a court order, provided the court determines that the disclosure is necessary for a proceeding before it and that failure to disclose the information contravenes the public interest. And that last part, you know, that could apply to you. It's in the public interest to know just how nuts you are sometimes.
Yeah.
So
now, that is that only for mental health records, or is that
that's about records? The mental health records.
Okay, so not just medical records in general, but just the mental health part.
Well, they drill down because there are so many very specific within HIPAA. It restricts mental health records differently than the other records, along with sexually transmitted diseases and those kind of things. They're locked down a lot tighter than you know what your blood pressure is and that kind of stuff. So Texas has the same kind of thing, and theirs is a long list. You can do it in an action against a mental health professional. You can do it if it's revoked by the patient, claim to recover stuff. In proceedings regarding a parent-child relationship, that one I thought was interesting, in the context of an involuntary commitment, and a court may order disclosure, but limit it to the extent necessary to protect the patient. So, you know, minimum necessary, you would hope in all of these court orders, it would only be a very specific thing that they would ask for. But clearly, all the states are different. They're running in every different way. And this goes back to, you know, at what point do we begin to question how good it is for us to have so much flexibility at the state in some cases. And the reason being, you know, to figure out how I can share information. You remember Mr. Wonderful's comment about his medical record, right? Mm-hmm. And what was he talking about? He couldn't get his record from New York to California or something like that?
Yeah, something like that. Mm-hmm.
Okay, well, one of the biggest reasons is the laws are so different from state to state about what I can and cannot do. People just give up.
Yeah.
You know, I can't do health information exchange across states unless I'm clear about the state's laws matching up enough that I can do it. And I can tell you, New York's and California's aren't close enough.
That's like people used to come into the medical office and say, I need a copy of my medical records. And they say, I'm sorry, HIPAA won't allow us to give you a copy of your medical records.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I always love those. Still my favorite, though, is the lady that rescued the dog and called up the vet asking about it. And they told her they couldn't tell her because of HIPAA.
Well, it might come to that.
I thought she was lying, but she swears on damn. No, I'm telling you the truth because I busted out laughing, thought they were joking. I was like, no, they actually thought it. You know, that applies to people. But in that effort to try to resolve some of these issues of knowing what I can do from state to state, because even if you look at an entity that owns, because, you know, there's so much these big hospital organizations, they have multiple facilities across states. Same thing with senior living facilities, multiple sites across states. And every state, they have to have what is different. You know, how do you manage to run that properly and not screw it up? And so there's a lot of issues with all of them being so different. And this is one of those where we've got a nationwide, a federal level interest in being able to share information like Mr. Wonderful wants. It's Kevin O'Leary, right? That's his name.
Right. Mm-hmm.
But in December, the National Governors Association, they released a roadmap about privacy laws and all those kind of things. And they actually suggest that there needs to be something that synchronizes state laws in this way so that we can actually share information. Because everybody's, you know, why can't you share that? Well, that's in Alabama, you know, or, well, in Alabama, you can do whatever you want. Apparently, they don't have any. But just, you know, the New York to California is perfect example. So you can certainly see where aligning the laws to at least make it possible for things to happen at a federal level is well worth it if we're going to make that interoperability stuff take place. So there you have it, David. Lots to be afraid of.
I know. So that just goes to show that within the training programs that you have within your practice, you also need to make sure that you understand what your state requires and whether or not that needs to also be put into your training program.
Yeah, and people ask us if we cover the state laws, and I'm like, every one of them? No.
We just did. We just covered them all. We're done.
That's it. That's all I got.
Just listen to this when you're done. All right. Well, we want to remind you one more time about the HIPAA Bootcamp at thehipaabootcamp.com. It will be happening in May the 11th and 12th. I started to say a different date. May the 11th and 12th. So if you're interested in that, go to thehipaabootcamp.com and all the information and then some will be there. And if you want to purchase the tickets, you can do that as well. And we will see you in Georgia in May before it gets too hot.
Yeah, you're about 2 weeks before it gets too hot. I don't know, though. We don't know what the weather is here anymore.
Yeah. So, but anyway, that's our show for today, folks. I want to thank you for listening. Remember that you can also review us on iTunes. We appreciate those. And for those of you who have asked, you don't have to have iTunes if you don't have the ability to get to it. You can listen to us on other podcast apps such as CastBox or Podcast Addict, or you can listen to us right there on our website at helpmewithhipaa.com. Also, be sure to share us out on social media. We do see a lot of you doing that, and we appreciate it. It helps out a bunch. So just remember for Donna and myself that HIPAA is not about compliance. It's about patient care.
You've been listening to the Help Me with HIPAA podcast, hosted by Donna Grendel and David Sims, the show created to help you with HIPAA. For more information or to ask us a question, visit our website at helpmewithhipaa.com. Neither Donna Grendel or David Sims are attorneys, and they do not offer binding legal advice concerning regulatory compliance. The information in this podcast should not be relied upon or construed as legal advice in any way. Consult your attorney for legal advice concerning compliance with HIPAA regulations.